So with that, let's turn to our scripture reading here this morning. We're just going to read about five short little verses from Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 23 through 27. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 21, I'm going to start with verse number 23. And God's word says this: Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priest and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Let's pray. Father, it seems like every week when we get into the scripture reading, the one scripture is just, if not, is not more powerful than the one we read the week before. But I love these wonderful words of Jesus. He always has the right words, always at the right time. And what a great way to learn. So, Lord, what are we to learn from this little encounter that your son has with these chief priests and these elders here this morning? So, Father, I just pray that the words that I speak will complement your scripture, but I pray most of all that your scripture, your word, will change us. Do that from the inside out. We give you the praise and glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. So we've gone through the Bible Jeopardy, and now we continue this journey through our New Testament in 2019. And today we're going to pause and we're going to talk about this short little five verses from Matthew chapter 21. And today we're going to talk about authority. The authority of Jesus was questioned. What is authority? Well, Webster defines authority, and this is in the inside cover of your bulletin in the top right-hand corner. What is authority? Authority is, according to Webster, power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. It's the power to influence or command those three things of a person. A quick little story. When I was growing up, and maybe you had this in your school system too. I know when I was growing up in grades 1 through 8, and I went to a Catholic school, when you got to 8th grade, you had the opportunity, if you so desired, to be a patrol boy or a patrol girl. Now, I don't know if you had patrols in your school or not, but we had patrols in our school, and they wore the white belts. You know, the white belts went around, you had the thing, you know, they kind of went up like this. And you got to, and they kept law and order in the playground, and they worked the crosswalks and made sure the kids didn't cross the crosswalks with all the traffic coming. And boy, did I want to be a patrol boy. I couldn't wait to get into 8th grade so I could be a patrol boy and wear that belt. And when 8th grade come around, I signed up and I got to be a patrol boy, and I got a patrol belt, and every weekend I'd take it home and my mother would wash it, and Monday morning and my patrol belt would be nice and clean and bright white. And boy, did I want the authority. I wanted the authority. I wanted the power. I liked that feeling of power, that feeling to influence or command and take care of these things around me. In the playground, if children were misbehaving, you got to throw them in time out. And they got to stay there as long as you told them to stay there. And if they escaped without you knowing it, you got to take them to Sister Margaret Mary, who's better known as Sister WWF Margaret Mary, okay? You didn't want that happening. You also got to patrol the crosswalks to keep the children safe. But it was a position of authority. And I like that, having that authority, because I'd like to make sure that, A, the rest of the kids were safe and the rest of the kids were well-behaved in the playground. So that was always my ambition, to be a patrol boy, and I was, and that was a good thing. But I think it's a safe bet to say that all of us in here were taught to respect those in authority. That is the generation we were brought up in. Someone must be in charge, and we showed respect and honor for whoever that person in charge may have been. And perhaps there was a sense of awe or a sense of even fear of whoever that authoritative figure may have been, from our parents to the policeman, or even to the patrol boy or the patrol girl. Unfortunately, we live in a world today where the respect for authority is dwindling at a very rapid rate. Children are losing respect for parental authority. Employees are losing respect for business leadership authority. Students are losing respect for their teachers. Congregants are losing respect for pastoral authority. And American citizens are losing respect for governmental authority. Some people just have a problem with authority, especially when those same people think that they should be the ones in that authority and not someone else. And that's exactly what we see in today's reading today from Matthew 21, verses 23 through 27. The chief priests and elders that we read about, yes, they do have an authoritative position within the Jewish religious ruling system. They do. And now they want to know how and where Jesus got his authority and how he has any authority to do, as it says, the things that he was doing. So what exactly were these things that Jesus was doing that had these people so upset? I'll give you just a short little list. I believe it was his miracles that he was doing. They didn't like that. They didn't like the healings that he was doing. They didn't like his teaching. And because he was a powerful teacher, they didn't like the fact that people were following him instead of following them. That's taking away from their power and their prominence and their prestige. And they wanted that. But most importantly, at this particular time, because we're going to take scripture in context, was the fact that the day before, Jesus had just got done cleansing the temple. He cast out the money changers and those who were selling doves, the scripture tells us. And we need to understand this, just a little bit of history, that this exchange of money for sacrificial animals, which was happening in the outer court of the temple, was a very, very lucrative business for those who are in the Jewish religious ruling system. Jesus, by cleansing the temple, was taking away some of their money. The Jewish religious rulers also knew that Jesus had no formal training. He wasn't trained by any of the known rabbis that they knew at that time. And on top of that, many of them knew, and I'm sure rumors went around, and this went around, that this guy Jesus, he's from Nazareth, and he's just a carpenter's son. And remember what happened about 33 years ago? Remember that woman Mary and that questionable birth? They remember all that. They knew that. So this man, Jesus, has absolutely no credentials for being anyone in any position of authority. Unless he is who he says he is. And he says that he is the Son of God. And that gives him all the authority. Most of the Jewish leaders at that time were running into a very serious problem. Many of the common people, they were starting to side with Jesus. Perhaps because of the miracles. Perhaps they may have been healed themselves. Various reasons. But in all these cases, and we read it time and time again, it seems like the people, the common people, recognized the authority of Jesus and the authority in his teaching, the authority of his miracle working. Just a couple examples. I'll give you three examples here. The first one, in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, which is a Sermon on the Mount, it concludes and it says this: when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he is teaching them as one having, there's that word, authority. Oh, interesting. And not as their scribes. So already the tension's starting to build. Jesus has authority, not like the people who are already in position. And then we have the second verse out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 8. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. And that story is Jesus had just got done healing the leper. So that was example number two. Again, there's the word awestruck, their reaction. By what? By his authority. And then the third one in Mark chapter 1, verse 27. They were all amazed, there's the reaction, so that they debated among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So there's certainly proof in the scriptures themselves that the people recognized the authority of Jesus. So that would be our first fill in the blank. And begins with the letter P, and it is the word people. The people recognized his authority. The common person recognized his authority. There was no doubt that the common Jewish person walking around at that time recognized that Jesus had some kind of divine authority to say the things that he was saying and to do the things that he was doing. Jesus had the power and the authority to command demons, to command over disease, over death, over nature, over sin. And thus he had, getting back to our definition, thus he had the influence, he had the power and influence to command the thoughts, the opinions, and the behavior of the people, which is exactly what true authority is going to do. So not only did he have authority over that, let's go to a couple other scripture verses. And not only did he have authority in the other ways that I just described, but Jesus himself knew that he had authority, and he knew where that authority was coming from. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus is just about to ascend into heaven. It's at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, and he said this: all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, some people ask, well, how much authority did he have? What's the adjective? All. He had all authority. Not just some, not just over this, not just over this, and not just over this. All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. Jesus knew that he had that, so he spoke those words. And then a second one that says this: and he called the 12 together, and this is from Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. This is when he sent out the disciples to go among the children of Israel, to go do these things, to cast out demons, heal diseases. He gave them authority. Now, I want to say this profound statement here, and it says this. First of all, our second fill in the blank: Jesus had authority because he could give that authority to others at will. Which leads me to this profound statement right here. You cannot give to someone something you do not possess. He could have never given the disciples or the 72 authority to do anything unless what? He had it. Proof that Jesus has authority. I could say, well, you know, Dave, I'm going to give you this quarter that I have in my pocket. There's only one problem. I don't have a quarter in my pocket. I can't do that for you. I don't have it. I can't give something to you or to anybody, something that I don't already possess. If Jesus had no authority, and we got to think about this. If Jesus had no authority, he could not have given it to the disciples, the things that he did. But they were successful. We can read about that in the scriptures. They were successful in their mission to cast out demons and to heal all the diseases. So they had the authority, the power to command behavior, as our definition says. So we know from reading other portions of scripture that Jesus has this authority. And the people recognized that authority. So what was the problem then with the chief priest and the elders? The people saw it. Why couldn't they see it? I'll tell you why they couldn't see it. Because blind people cannot see. Blind people cannot see. And these religious leaders were blind. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus calls such people blind guides. And in today's scripture reading, these same blind guides, these chief priests and elders, they want to trap Jesus. Oh, they want to get him good. And that's the one thing that they wanted to do. If we could just catch him in his words or in his actions, then we could put him to death, because that's what they want to do. So they're trying, in their efforts to try to trap Jesus, Jesus turns the tables and ends up trapping them. Don't you just love it? I love it when Jesus does that. They just do. So let's look at this encounter in these five verses. The chief priests and elders, they want to know this. Okay, hey, Jesus, where did you get this authority? How did you receive this authority? Who's it from to do these things that you are doing? And again, we talked about that. What are these things? They are most likely, in the context of this scripture, referring to the events of the day before. Hey, you come in here, you cleanse the temple, you ran out the money changers, and our business, we're not going to make any money off you, Jesus, because you did what you did. Where did you get that authority to do that? Where did you get it, Jesus? That's all we want to know. Where did you get it? Give us an answer, because no matter how you're going to answer this, we're going to get you. And we're going to get you good. They wanted Jesus to say this, that his authority came directly from God. What's wrong with that? That is the correct answer. Jesus had said that many times before. My authority has come from God. Me and God are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. But once he says this, and you've got to remember, when is this? This is like on Tuesday of Passion Week. He's going to be crucified like 3 days later, so it's going to happen. But as soon as he says this, they can accuse him of blasphemy and use that charge as a reason to kill him, which is what they wanted to do, which they will ultimately do a few days after that. But Jesus, in his infinite wisdom and authority, makes them a counteroffer. In other words, he says this, I'll tell you what, scribes and Pharisees, you answer my question and I'll answer yours. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Was it from God? Was it from heaven? Or is it from men? It's a simple question. Just answer the question. But his question places them in an impossible dilemma. If they respond and say, well, the baptism of John is from God, then they would be condemning themselves. Why? Because if John's baptism is from God, that means that the words of John the Baptist would have been prophetic, would have been from God, and John had already pronounced condemnation on those brood of vipers. I don't know if he shook his finger at him or not, but maybe he did. But he already called them a brood of vipers because they didn't believe in what he was doing, and they didn't believe in the one coming after him, which would be Jesus. So they couldn't say from God without making themselves look bad. We can't go there. Let's not give that answer, because that makes us look like a bunch of fools, and we're not a bunch of fools. But if they say it was from men, they would be denying the legitimacy of John's baptism. Why? Because the chief priests and elders, the people who are questioning Jesus, know that the people revered John the Baptist immensely. And they said that he was a prophet of God. So if they said, well, it comes from men, the chief priests and elders, now they feared, how are the people going to respond? We'll have the mob come after us. If we say this, we kind of condemn ourselves. If we say this, the people are going to be after us. So what do we say? We don't know. We don't know. In their efforts to trap Jesus, Jesus has trapped them. And here's what is so wonderful about this scripture. There's many things wonderful. Those who were supposed to have the religious authority, the chief priests and elders, exposed their own lack of authority to examine Jesus. If they had religious authority, they should have known the scriptures. And by knowing the scriptures, they should have searched the scriptures, and they should have truly recognized that the authority that Jesus had to do these things was from God. And then they would have connected the dots. They would have found out that this authority is from God, and that's okay. And they would have worshiped Jesus as their Messiah. But instead, they didn't want competition. They were blind guides. And tragically, when the blind lead the blind, they all fall where? Into the pit. They all go into the pit. We don't have blind leaders just 2,000 years ago. Today, the world is filled with blind leaders, blind guides, and blind people who are following the blind leaders. And the sad note of all that is this: they are all going to fall into a pit, the condemnation of hell. They deny the authority of Jesus, and or they want Jesus. This is important. They want Jesus to be exactly who they want him to be. Well, I'll open up this book, but I'll tell this book what I want Jesus to be. They don't want to adhere to the words of Jesus. They don't want to hear those things. I'll make Jesus out to be not a king. How about a Burger King? So I can have him my way. I don't want Jesus with all that stuff on it. I just want him with a little bit of this and not too much of that. I want him my way. And in doing so, when we question Jesus and his word, we begin to question his authority. One more quick little story time with Pastor Mike here this morning. Once upon a time, I was at the hospital doing some visitation. And I was in a room, and the patient was there, and me and this person were talking, and in comes another person who was a friend of the patient. So I kind of back off, and I kind of sit back, and I allow this patient to talk with this new visitor. You could tell they've been friends for a long time. And during the course of the conversation, it came up that I was a pastor. For some reason, that always seems to change the conversation a little bit. I have no clue why. But it changed the conversation a little bit. And somehow we got onto the fact about Jesus. And this person said this. You know, I really don't buy into all of that hell, fire, and brimstone stuff that's in the book. I'm sure he's referring to the Bible. And I looked at this person and said, well, you ought to, because it's true. And this person responded back, no. God is a loving God. God is all love. And he would never do those kinds of things. God is a God of love. Yes. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. Let's not forget the bad parts. Okay? Let's mix the good with the bad. I don't believe that I influenced or changed this person's mind in any way, and that's okay. I didn't agree with what this man had to say, but I know this. Jesus does have authority, and it's not our authority, and it's not the Pope's authority, and it's not Billy Graham's authority, and it's not John MacArthur's authority, and certainly not Pastor Mike's authority. It's God's authority. And it's right here. And this is it. In the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says this, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Actually, those are the words of a loving God. They are. Because a loving God speaks the truth. And a loving God gives us warning. And a loving God gives us chances. And a loving God will make sure that these things are presented for us before the hellfire and brimstone ever happens. Folks, there is hellfire and brimstone, I assure you. And Jesus has authority over all hell, all the fire, and all the brimstone. I would not want to be in the position of questioning in any way, the authority that Jesus has in this book. Folks, there are people who want to dismiss many and much of what Jesus says. But they're not the ones in authority. Jesus is the one in authority. And in this particular Bible, everything he said is in red letters. And I believe everything he said. You know, I even believe the things that are in black letters too. And that's a good thing. I'll end with this. The book of Jude, just a little one chapter book. I have a very interesting verse on the front of your bulletin. What does the word of God say? What does the authoritative word of God say? And I'll just read it to you. And it says this, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." I think I know who's in charge. And I hope we all do. It's Jesus. He's the one in authority. Let's remember that. Let's not make the Bible say what we want it to say. Let's go to God in prayer.